time will come. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to the final session of our program, A Time Will Come. Today, inshallah, we will cover a very important topic, the importance of hadith. In light of the theme that we have, A Time Will Come, first I will share with you the hadith of this theme, and then we will go through some points which highlight the importance of hadith, why we need the hadith traditions. Without hadith traditions, what will happen? Insha'Allah, these points will be covered, but before I cover these points and talk about the different aspects related to today's topic, I want to share with you a narration which expresses the importance of sending blessings in favor of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. This is more of a warning rather than a benefit. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that he before whom I am mentioned, or there is my mention, and he did not send blessings upon me. So a person in the presence of whom the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is mentioned, and he did not say at least something like peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, or any such expression. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam says about such an individual that he left the path of paradise, or he abandoned the path of paradise. We as believers must know and understand that when the name of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is mentioned, when he is referred to, we send or express a prayer of blessings for him. This is the right he has over us. This is not only a point of love and respect, this is a point of which can potentially affect our salvation or our hereafter. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to understand the importance of sending blessings in favor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam when we hear his name or when he is mentioned in our gatherings, in our conversations. Moving on to the main focal point or main hadith, or the hadith which is according to our theme of A Time Will Come, is as follows. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, soon there will come a time when a man shall be reclining on a pillow, and when one of my ahadith is narrated, he will say, the book of Allah is sufficient between us and you. Whatever it states is permissible, we shall take it as permissible. And whatever it states is forbidden, we will take it as forbidden. So the speech of that individual ends there. The hadith continues, verily, whatever the Messenger of Allah has forbidden is like that which Allah has forbidden. So our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam described a man who will be reclining on a pillow and stating before the people in his presence that what is in the Quran, or if what is permissible and forbidden in the Quran, that is acceptable for him, despite the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being mentioned in his presence. So this individual will only accept the verses of the Quran in terms of permissibility and prohibition, and he will not give due consideration to the prophetic traditions, the hadith narrations. And unfortunately, out of ignorance, some people fail to understand the importance of hadith. They don't even know the definition of hadith. They don't even know how the hadith was recorded, or they don't even know anything about the care and efforts and travel involved by our pious predecessors, the authentication of traditions, prophetic traditions, the efforts and the conditions that were put in place for the collections of hadith traditions to be made, the compilation of these hadith traditions, what it took, the efforts involved in coming to a stage where the prophetic traditions were accessible to people. First, let us begin with our understanding of what hadith is. What is meant by hadith? Generally speaking, hadith is the qawl, fi'l, or taqreer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, meaning the word of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his action, or his tacit approval. So something, his taqreer, taqreer here doesn't mean the taqreer that we do in terms of the public speaking. Here what is meant is tacit approval. So something happened in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he did not stop others from performing that action. So this tacit approval, this also comes into the definition of hadith. So hadith, although this same concept of the qawl, fi'l, taqreer of the companions and those who came after the companions, the tabi'een, this is also defined, mentioned in the definition of hadith. Hadith is so important that the prophetic tradition or hadith, it clarifies, explains the verses of the Quran. It explains the application of certain rulings. It explains how one can fulfill or complete a certain injunction mentioned in the Quran. Without the hadith tradition, we would not even know how to perform certain actions. The action may be mentioned in the Quran, but how do you do it? What are the requirements of fulfillment? And what does that action entail? The details are not apparently mentioned in the Quran or cannot be understood from the apparent text of the Quran. And this is where the hadith is very important. In fact, in technical terms, when we look at describe hadith, revelation is fundamentally divided into two, wahi matlu and wahi ghair matlu. So the wahi, the revelation which is recited, which is the Quran, and the revelation which is not formally recited, which refers to hadith. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak from his whims, desires. Whatever he says, it's inspired. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many a time when before he spoke, he became silent because he waited for revelation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his words are inspired by revelation. So without the prophetic traditions, we would find it very hard to understand or follow many of the rulings mentioned in the Quran. Let us go through some verses of the Quran which express the importance of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Because when someone is reading the Quran, or if someone is affected by this thought that the Quran has the rules of or the guidelines of life within it, then if this thought comes to mind, what is the need for hadith? It is important to understand what the Quran says about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and then you can understand or have some understanding of the importance of hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa rasulahu wa la tawallu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers and saying, O you who believe, obey Allah and His Messenger and do not turn away from Him. So Allah is specifying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for obedience. Similar verse mentioned, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, and obey Allah and His Messenger and do not argue, do not dispute. Again, the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا بالرسول إلا ليطاع بإذن الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we did not send a messenger except that he is to be obeyed with the command of Allah, with the permission or command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why a messenger is sent, to be obeyed. And if someone is denying prophetic tradition or not following prophetic tradition, how can he fulfill the obedience of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? A very famous verse: "Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah." Subhanallah. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, addressing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that say, if you love Allah, follow me. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly saying to the Prophet to tell them, if they love Allah, fattabi'uni, follow me, yuhibbukum Allah. Allah will love you. So to attain the love of Allah, you have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which completely negates this idea of na'udhu billah, there not being a need to follow prophetic tradition. Moving on, there are many verses that can be quoted. I'm just picking out some verses from the many verses in front of me. The famous verse which is used as a reference point, or as a point of reference for specifying the importance of taking hadith or hadith traditions, is وَمَا آتَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُزُوهُ. And whatever the messenger gives you, so take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he tells you to refrain from, refrain from it. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ and fear Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in retribution. So Allah has commanded us to take the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are not commanded to just look at the text of the Quran. We are commanded to take what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us. Considering the verses that were mentioned, it becomes very clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in creation has made our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a source of obedience, a source of guidance. He is specified sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be followed, to be obeyed, and he is a source of guidance that we take from. Even the Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described in the Quran in this manner, where يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. This is the role of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He teaches the book and wisdom. Now, if the people who are in the presence of the Prophet, they know Arabic, then why do they need to be taught the book? It is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one who explains the book of Allah. He is the one who explains the rulings that are mentioned in the Quran. This is why he is teaching the book. And some of the Mufassirun, they say that wisdom refers to the prophetic tradition. So we as Muslims, we cannot understand the Quran without the prophetic tradition. We are incomplete without the prophetic tradition. The question we must ask ourselves, that the instructions given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including the commands of obeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, were these commands confined to the prophetic era, and they do not apply after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam veiled himself from this world? If this is not the case, and anyone with little understanding would know that the laws Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are until the day of judgment. So this command, or these commands to obey and follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, they are until the day of judgment. So if this is established, that the laws of the Quran are until the day of judgment, and if this is also established, that the laws of the Quran and the injunctions of the Quran cannot be fully understood without the example or the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, the next question, or the next point to consider, is that this means that the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is to be observed until the day of judgment. But what is obedience? How do you obey? To obey, you need to have some guidelines. That's how you obey. You can't just obey and not know what to do. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to know what the Prophet did, what the Prophet said, what he instructed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you don't know that, you can't obey. So it's a contradiction. So even from this little discussion or considering these points, it becomes very clear that we need the prophetic tradition to understand the Quran, to follow the commands of the Quran. And even the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum needed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to understand the verses of the Quran, even though they knew the language. So who are we to even consider or have this thought that the verses of the Quran or the guidelines of the Quran, na'udhu billah, may be enough for guidance? This is not true at all. There are many points of discussion. We cannot cover everything in this short session, but I would like to share with you some points related to the importance of hadith and the manner of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Sayyiduna Bara bin Azib radiallahu ta'ala an, he clarifies this point that obviously the companions weren't always able to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if they were looking after the camels or something was happening, they would immediately go to the other companions and ask them to relate to them what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And in terms of the care that was taken, in terms of narration and verification, once at the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, a grandmother came to his court and said that she wanted a share from the inheritance of her grandson. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an said that the share for a grandmother is not mentioned in the Quran. I don't know any such narration or any text about this. And then he told her to wait. Meaning Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to inquire from the other companions whether they know of any such narration or prophetic instruction which may help this grandmother who was seeking a share of inheritance from her grandson. Sayyidina Mughira bin Shu'bah, a very senior companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up after the Zuhr prayer when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and who was Khalifa of the time when he posed this question to the listeners. And Sayyidina Mughira, he said that he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or it had come to his knowledge that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would give 1/6. Now this is a senior companion who is saying this to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But what did Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu say? He said, is there anyone else with you, or is there anyone else who can verify this or who has also heard this? He actually sought confirmation of this statement from another individual, even though Sayyidina Mughira is a known, trusted companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he posed this question, that's when Muhammad bin Maslama stood up and he said that I have also heard, or I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would give the grandmother 1/6 of the share. The point being here that even Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu sought more people, or sought as many people as he could, to confirm something which a very trustworthy companion had stated originally. And what was the love of hadith like? What was the level of passion to confirm a hadith? Sayyiduna Abu Ayyub Ansari, in his old age, he wanted to confirm a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he found out that apart from him, only one other companion, living companion, knew of a particular hadith. And this companion was Sayyiduna Uqba bin Amir, who was in Misr, in Egypt. Sayyiduna Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu an was in Medina. He traveled from Madinatul Munawwara in his old age, crossing deserts and vast plains and rivers and going through all those difficulties to reach Misr. And when he reaches Misr, he inquires about Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir straight away. He does not sit down and rest for a few days. He is adamant. He wants to know where Sayyidina Uqba is. And when he finally reaches Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir, he confirms his reason for arriving in Misr. And he says to him that, I heard a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and apart from me, only you, Uqba bin Amir, Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir, referring to him, you are the only other person who are living in this world who has heard that hadith also. And he said the hadith is about veiling the fault of a believer. And that's when Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir, he confirmed and he said, yes, that he heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that whosoever covers or veils a point of disgrace or a point of humiliation of a believer on the Day of Judgment, Allah will cover him or veil him. When Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir said this, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari confirmed. And he said, you have spoken the truth. As soon as this was done, he radiallahu ta'ala anhu left and he set off to return to Madinatul Munawwara. This was the love the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for hadith and the care they would take in reporting the hadith. He wanted to confirm this hadith tradition, so he traveled months. It took him months to reach Misr from Madinatul Munawwara, and this was his sincerity for the service of the prophetic tradition. Viewers of Madani Channel, a lot more can be said. Whole biographies were written about hadith reporters. The character, the veracity, the source of information, the level of transmission, the places of transmission. So many elements were considered before hadith reports were verified and included in the famous compilations or famous works of hadith that we have today. This was not something which was taken lightly. A lot of care was taken. And the more you study the science of hadith and the more you study the manner in which the scholars of hadith carried out this work, the more you appreciate the trust and the care taken in preserving the right message of the prophetic tradition. Remember, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to pray in the Quran, how do we pray? How many cycles or units of prayer? How do we begin the prayer? What must we do before we begin our prayer? That's just one example. Zakat. How much zakat? How will we give zakat in different situations? Hajj. How do we perform Hajj exactly? What do we do first? What do we do last? When you go through the many obligations or when you go through the many injunctions in the Quran, there will be mention of those injunctions, but the clarification will come from hadith tradition. So to conclude, we need the prophetic teachings, the prophetic tradition, to follow and observe the rulings of Sharia in the right way. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are saved from the evil of the end of times and we understand the importance of prophetic traditions. We follow the Sunnah way and attain salvation. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen.
A time will come. A time will come.